Hi, and welcome to Menstrual Cycle Mastery with me, your host, Lisa DeYoung. I'm an educator, coach, and group facilitator passionate about exploring the menstrual cycle and the experience of pain or suffering many of us have. Using a mind-body approach and the menstrual cycle mastery skills, I support individuals to reconnect with their cycle and find relief, and I train professionals who want to guide others in this work. Freedom from suffering is possible for you, and there's so much more waiting for you on the other side. Let's dive in. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Menstrual Cycle Mastery podcast. You're very welcome. I'm Lisa DeYoung, and today I have Laura Cohen with me. So Laura, you're very welcome. Laura is a graduate of the Menstrual Coach Academy. You graduated in 2025 now, so last year. And yeah, I'm really excited to catch up with Laura. We haven't talked about anything off the record, so it's all going to be new for me because it's been a while since we connected. So I might just start with, well, how are you doing, Laura? How are you doing today? And yeah, tell us a little bit about you and a little intro to who you are.
Yeah, sure. So, well, I'm Laura Cowan. I live in Hertfordshire. And one of my work hats is that I run Girls Rising Movement, which runs retreat days and workshops for girls aged 9 to 15, all about periods and puberty. And I often run them with the mothers as well. And it's just a day of connection and bonding and information and education on all things periods, which is really beautiful. I've been running that since 2022.
2022, amazing. Sorry, I completely mispronounced your surname. Thank you for that.
Oh, okay.
It's great to reconnect, Laura. And you're the founder of Girls Rising, and you're doing that. So tell us a little bit about how you got into Girls Rising. I know you're a mom of three girls as well, aren't you?
Yes. So I suppose I've always loved periods, oddly. So even when I learned about periods myself, when my mum told me when I was eight, because my older sister started when she was nine. So even though I didn't start my period until I was 14, I've known since I was 8 years old. And I think that really helped me in kind of being excited about periods. I was never worried. I always knew. And I was actually couldn't wait to start my period. I remember being really excited to come on. And so I think that was a really good foundation for me. And my mum was always quite open and in terms of bodies and women's bodies and stuff, which really helped, and having an older sister. And then, you know, sort of used to, even in my 20s, wax lyrical about like period cups. And I used to love talk, so I've always loved talking about periods. But then in my 30s, when I had my children, I learned more about like the menstrual cycle. I read Wild Power and Period Power, and just absolutely, honestly, it just called to me. And I really wanted my girls to have this knowledge when they, you know, sort of were in that puberty age. And because of my background with like drama and storytelling, I instantly had all these ideas for how I would tell the story of periods and the menstrual cycle to children, to girls. So I started writing loads of notes and thought, oh, is there anything out here? And couldn't really find a lot. So I decided to set up Girls Rising myself. It was sort of a slow process because I had the idea in the summer of 2019, but I still had really tiny ones, and you know, COVID and lockdown and everything kind of delayed the process. So by the time I came around to starting the retreats, I was already kind of like, it's been a beautiful slow process, really, the whole thing. And now I run 3 to 4 retreats a year, and now that's gone up to 6 retreats a year because I do a follow-on retreat in Hertfordshire. Plus I do a 2-hour workshop, plus I'm starting to run some stuff in schools as well. So it's kind of snowballed a little bit.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing, Laura. Wow. I love hearing how you came to it, you know, and obviously there was a very natural interest there from a young age. Mm. You had the support from your mom. You had a lot of curiosity. And then having your girls, and then having that desire for your girls. And then you have a background in, did you say drama? teaching?
Yeah, so yeah. I've done sort of community theatre for years. So it's all been about story, really. All of like my career has been about story. And then I became an early years storyteller. So then I started to kind of tell stories orally. And so, yeah, it's kind of been like a really organic process. But also just the knowledge that I felt really comfortable. I've always known I'm really comfortable with my body and periods, but I knew from all my friends, or most of my friends, they weren't so comfortable, that there was this real kind of difference. And I was like, well, what is this thing that I have and how can I bottle it? Because obviously I was told really young, my mum was really open with her body. I've always been really passionate. And obviously there's, you know, kind of my personality involved in that. But it's like, what happened to me that I can feel really good about that and others feel that shame and embarrassment? So there was that too, that kind of what's happened that is making me feel this confident compared to others. And because all of my background's been about story and drama and theatre, you know, I just know the power of that. And I know that when we tell ourselves certain stories, it becomes a part of our life. It becomes our belief system. And when I went through my pregnancies myself, like there was again, it clicked, the story I'm telling myself, this story we are told about birth or that we kind of embody can actually impact how we experience our births, and which is another kind of body, you know, blood ritual, isn't it, that a woman's body goes through. So I just had this like, oh, that makes sense to me. And how can I tell these stories that create that confidence and empowerment in other people's bodies?
Yeah, it does. 100% makes it. Yeah, it does. Because in Ireland, obviously, story is really in our history, in our culture, you know, and in our ancestral lineage. So I totally understand that. And in a lot of countries, the power of story and the healing power of story, the transformative power of story, you know. And what I love about your work is you're bringing in, you know, like you said, what you have that others don't have as a gift to offer to people to write their own story. But also I'm also hearing unwrite their story, because they've internalized a shame story from wherever, and or like a limiting story with birth, you know. And we're going to talk about that as well and how that can be harmful to people. So that's incredible. And so you started Girls Rising. Well, the idea started in 2019. Then as conditions allowed, you started the project, and now you said you're doing 6 retreats a year. That's incredible, Laura. So what I'm curious about is, what are you observing in the room? And yeah, what are you noticing in those, you know, and so you started with once-off retreats and now you have a follow-on, which I think is also very interesting. I'm curious about where your journey with that.
Yeah. Well, it's followed the journey with my own daughters, in honesty. So I set that up when kind of my eldest was 8 or 9. That's when the retreat started. And so I started to bring my eldest daughter and with the other mums and girls in the room. There's always, to begin with, there's a real transformation in the day, because to begin with, there's a lot of, you know, anxiety and what's going to happen and how is this going to, you know, sort of turn out. And there's already a huge kind of courage in signing up to something like this, and spending the time together with the daughter is always kind of the wonderful thing that they're, you know, they're hoping to do. But, you know, this is the start of this conversation, this day is, and that's what I always say, is that there's so much in the day, but this is the start of more conversations and that open. What am I reading in the room? Yeah, so just apprehension to begin with, and so much emotion from the mums.
From the mums. So it's mothers and daughters, isn't it?
Coming in. Daughters.
Yeah.
And for the mums, I think there is that real yearning that they guide their daughters differently to how they were at this time of their girl's life. How, you know, and so I think there's that real kind of need to want to guide them, and that they want to do that with other women. Really, the day is not just me leading it. You know, we do it in a circle. circle, it's the other women and the other girls that are the real power of the day. Because we're never doing this in isolation. We realize that we are a sisterhood, that other women and other girls are going through this at the same time. It's not just happening to us. And they're all like-minded. They all want to learn and talk. So the girls start off quite stuck to their mums. And through the day, and we do have time to kind of connect, and we have a long sort of lunch break. We go for a walk in nature. The girls get to run around. They get to connect. And we do lots of creative activities. It's very, very interactive. And by the end of the day, they're all, you know, sort of connected. They've made friends. The mums have had chance to open up and experience a bit of a woman's circle in a part of it as well, where we take the girls off to do some clay modelling work and talk about body image and stuff while the mums have that time. So there's just so much in the day. And by the end of it, there's just this sense of connection, sisterhood, and just open conversation, really. It is really beautiful. I'm always blown away myself.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah, I can totally imagine, Laura. And so just practically speaking, what age are the girls coming in approximately?
So from that age 9, we have had younger. We have had 8-year-olds.
Yeah.
Up to age 15. But I'd say generally they are 10 and 11 and 12. 10, 11 and 12.
Yeah.
And that's kind of followed, you know, sort of my kids' ages. And then once my eldest got to 12, 13, and I was sort of seeing her experience with secondary school and then the start of, like, you know, body image issues, questions, you know, and also stress, extra stress and friendship issues and things like this. So then the deepening, which is my follow-on workshop, started to form. And that actually also has been informed by my being a part of your course as well. It kind of coincided with that. So it was sort of lovely to be able to give them some tools for their nervous system to help them with, you know, some period issues that might come up at the beginnings of their, you know, period journey, and look at how to support themselves as they're growing up and they're becoming more aware of their hormones and that cycle and stuff. So that's kind of grown from there.
Wow, what a gift to those girls. And do the mums come to the second one as well?
Absolutely, yeah. Because they are the main kind of guide. And actually, I will be this year, definitely. I've promised it a while, but I'll definitely be running a dad's workshop.
Workshop, nice.
So again, it's going to be the dads and the daughters, both of them together, to come in and do that.
I'll be dragging my dad over.
Yeah.
38-year-old woman and her dad. Like, just, I need to do this work. We never got a chance to do it. It's never too late. Yeah. That's amazing, Laura. So you're seeing those girls come back, and then I love the title as well, The Deepening. That's so beautiful and really appropriate for what you're teaching. Yeah. That's incredible.
And that just come about just the fact that every time, you know, every time we do this work with the menstrual cycle, it is a deepening. It's just constantly being more and more aware of yourself and aware of your sort of cycles and your body.
Now, this might sound like a stupid question, but I think it's a good one. So for someone, say a mom who's listening, who's kind of new to this work, like, why is it beneficial for the mother to be in a space like that as well as her daughter?
Because the daughter most likely lives with the mum.
Yeah.
And everything that the mum is, so mums weren't taught this. So the story wasn't told when they were young, or maybe not, or maybe they've only just learned about it. So it's kind of putting them both on the same awareness level so that they're both getting it. If I just did it for the daughters, there would still be that disconnection of the awareness and the knowledge. So it's kind of bringing them both together so that they have that conversation. They're starting with a basis of conversation about the menstrual cycle, about body literacy. You know, even naming the vulva, you know, we do an exercise on naming the parts of the uterus and the vulva and all of that. It's just putting them on the same step of awareness and knowledge, and then going from there, really. this is like the start.
Yeah, and then she has her mom at home who has that language, the language of the inner seasons, or the, like you say, the anatomy as well, and talking about that language. Because I didn't have my mom do that work with me, because obviously I was older, but it would have been really helpful had I, so I could kind of like even speak that same language with her. You know, we spoke our own language in a different way. But that's so, I can imagine that's very healing for the relationship between the girl who's in a vulnerable, very vulnerable place in her life. And when, yeah, because I suppose if they're not on the same page, it can create a disconnect almost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the idea is that the women often say, oh God, this is just as much for the mums as it is for the daughters.
Totally.
The women are sort of learning, they're sort of at an awareness where they're like seeing their life from a different perspective, going, wow, I wish I'd have known that. Oh, that's why I'm always cross or tense or teary or whatever at that stage, you know. And also it's an awareness in terms of parenting as that, oh, actually, I can actually see that pattern and how my daughter is more stressed around this time of the month and things like that. There's just that awareness. And that helps them. What's lovely is we have this exercise that we do where we discuss where we're at in the menstrual cycle, or where our favourite place is, or where our favourite seasons are, or where our most kind of like least favourite season. But what you see is nobody's really, there's a few clumps in the same places, but there's always some that are around the circle. And that as a visual, especially for the girls, but also for the mums, is this, we're never in the same space, you know, like we're all at different times in our cycles, and we're kind of coming together, and somebody might be in their most productive part of their cycle and the other one might not be, or they might be at their tension spot, or, and it just is a really beautiful way to see that we're all going through internally.
Yeah, we're all moving around. Yeah, totally. And then living in the same house as well, you know, the mother and the daughter. Yeah, and have that, having that awareness, how beautiful and how powerful at the same time to have different, you know, different women, a young girl or a teenager, and then her mom in a different place in the cycle, and having that communication, you know, within the house. That's incredible. So I'm curious about why you signed up for the course then, the Menstrual Coach Academy.
I wanted to have an accreditation to my name, because I'd read lots of books. I'd then taken that and into the workshop, and I wanted to go a bit deeper. I wanted to make sure that I'd done the work as well.
Yeah.
And there are lots of courses out there, but I was really sort of wanting something that really spoke to me. I think, again, I've sort of learned to really trust my own intuition, I guess, of just like, I'm not going to be looking at what everybody else is doing. I really want it to speak to me. And when I found you, it really felt right. And the idea that the way you teach it and the way it's all sort of linked with the polyvagal theory and pain science, and it just really spoke to me. And so I was really excited. And you're in my time zone as well. And
that's very important.
But yeah, this really spoke to me, and I'm so pleased I did it, because just the people that I was on the course with, and who I met, I'm still in touch with some people.
Lovely.
And it's just gorgeous. It's a really gorgeous space, and that time for myself, you know, sort of once a month as well, was really lovely.
Yeah, and to be in the learning with your topic of preference, your passion subject.
Absolutely.
Periods. Yeah. With other women who are as passionate as you are, Laura. Yeah.
And now I can say I'm an accredited menstrual cycle coach, so it just gives me that extra, you know, bit to my, it just feels more, I feel more confident. I feel like I'm ready to grow Girls Rising at the next stage now. So it just really sort of suits the journey.
And it deepens your own, like you went through your own deepening, it sounds like, in the program. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Did it help you with facilitation, group dynamics, understanding what was happening in the spaces you were facilitating?
Yeah. I think not in a cerebral way, not in a like, I will do this and this. It was an experience. It was experiencing it from you, and from the others, and then kind of by osmosis extending that out into my own facilitation, which has become like the content was there, but it's like the way I do it now, it's all about how they feel. It's really it. It's not so much there's a lot of information in the workshops and retreats, but I make it very clear that it really doesn't matter so much about what you remember. It's about the embodiment, it's about the experience, and it's about the way you feel. And I think I go into every workshop with that intention now of the feeling that they get from it much more.
Beautiful. Wow. I love hearing that. That's so great. Because it's a bit risky, isn't it? When the world wants information and science and the facts and the answer and the advice and how do I do this? And, you know, the mothers want that too, because they're in their anxiety naturally, as you spoke to. And then to come in with an embodied approach feels kind of scary, even for me, right? So I'm glad you took that on. Thank you for trusting me with that. And I love that you're sharing that with the group. And I imagine they might feel a little bit unsure of what's going on, but by the end of the day, they're probably like, wow, I didn't expect that.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Because, and it's sort of, that's the rising of that feminine energy, isn't it? We don't know, it's the unknown. It's the real, it's the feeling, it's the receiving of that energy. It's all of that. And there is a trust.
Yeah.
We do have to trust that. And so we talk about it, but we actually have to, yeah, embody it and practice it. And I think that I've definitely brought that in more since the course of that.
Yeah.
Embodying the feminine and what that feels like.
And how to facilitate. Yeah. With that in mind, I love that for you and for the people you're holding space for. So when you mentioned earlier about like what you see in the room is a lot of emotion, tell us a little bit more about that.
We don't get chance, do we, in everyday life to talk about our feminine experience. There's a real sort of, it's a bit like a ceremony. We do, at the end, we do actually do a little ceremony to celebrate the girls and the mums. And just there's that real sense of reverence. And I think when you have that space, that really precious day, and they know they've come, and we set up the circle, and we honour the women that came before us and the women here today and the women yet to come, there's just that reverence for the feminine. And I think it brings out a lot of emotion. I think it's kind of deep. And the mums feel it, and the girls are a bit like, oh my God, why is my mum crying already? You know, what's going on? But, and then, you know, and we have lots of, it's very chilled. You know, this isn't, I make it very clear, this isn't school, you know, you're not going to be tested on the information that you remember. This is about you just hearing in, listening in, having fun. It's very light-hearted as well. We just have lots of conversation and discussion.
Beautiful. Yeah. Oh, that's so beautiful. So it doesn't sound like really intense. It's more just that the emotion kind of comes naturally, and maybe those women haven't had a chance. They've been holding it all together and they haven't had a chance to be held. And it's so beautiful that you're creating a space where both the mother and the daughter are being held. Because that mother is doing all the holding in her everyday life, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And it's just, life is busy and you can continue on. And it's such a big thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like being a parent, and, you know, then there's this incredible girl and she's going to become a woman and all the complexities and issues that might face. It's a big thing for mums, and they're like sort of standing at this kind of start of this puberty journey going, help. And it's a bit like we all just all sort of hold each other's hands and go, let's have a day too.
Yeah, gorgeous. And then they can have support from other moms doing that kind of conscious work, right? Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah.
So gorgeous. That's so lovely. Tell us then about your book, Laura. You've written a book.
Yeah, so part of my journey with it, well, it was actually during kind of the lockdown period, is how do I tell this in such a beautiful way to my children that's not, you know, we've got all the information, and there was ideas for how I could put that into interactive exercises. But then I want a story. I want a kind of mythical story, some way to tell it. So you know what? I just wrote, it was like stream of consciousness writing, as if I was telling my girls this story. And then obviously I worked on it and I edited it and I worked with an illustrator. But this is kind of the final thing. I self-published. So it's called The Moon Child.
Beautiful. Will you hold it up a little closer to the camera just so there we go.
There we are.
Gorgeous. Yeah. Stunning.
So, and it's got a mum and a grandmother in it and kind of a nod to the seasons of the menstrual cycle and starting your period. The grandma kind of tells the mythical story. Can't really see.
Yeah, we can see. That's so fun. Brilliant. Oh, hold that up a little closer. Yeah, that's such a great moment. Oh, the vulnerability there. Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
God, we all remember that moment, don't we?
Yes. Yeah. Growing up and just life, you know, it's all linked, isn't it, with life cycles. My mum passed away in 2020.
Mm.
And certainly in the book is this idea that, you know, that grandma tells the story, but then during the process, we lose grandma. Mm. But her story, the body story, continues, you know.
So Laura's, I'm just going to give context for the people listening, because we have the video on YouTube, so you'll have to catch up on YouTube. But the illustrations and the artwork in the book are absolutely stunning and really capture the story that Laura is explaining. And one of the pictures that really struck me there was of a young girl on the toilet getting her with the tissue in her hand and a little drop of blood on the tissue, and then looking down wondering what was happening. Yeah.
So it was all linked with what was going on for my daughters at the time as well.
Gorgeous. And then your journey with your mom and all of that. Yeah. Wow. Was it healing for you to write that and to put it together?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, definitely.
Wow. So where are you at now? Before we hit record, I had to change your name on the screen. So the word papaya was written on your screen and I was like, oh, what's that? So curious where you're at now, Laura. So you're doing the Girls Rising, you're doing the deepening.
Yeah.
There's other things going on. So yeah, what else is happening?
So I also work for a charity called Papaya. It stands for Parents Against Phone Addiction in Young Adolescents. So it's linked with tech and screens. We talk about social media, we talk about dopamine and addiction, and it's kind of an awareness. We do awareness talks and workshops on how we can have a healthier balance with our screens. And obviously it is linked, especially I talk about it quite a lot in the deepening, because as the girls get older and there is that kind of more use of smartphones and devices, and obviously seeing it as a parent myself, just being aware that it affects their nervous system, it affects their hormones. So it is all linked with that, and just having, so for kids to have that awareness early on, because what we're seeing, and you know, teachers, doctors, it was at the charity that I work for was set up by a GP who was seeing so many young people come to her with mental health problems. And we are at a mental health crisis in our teenagers and adolescents now. In fact, they are actually the loneliest cohort in society. So it used to be the elderly, and it's more and more young people, adolescents now.
Wow.
And often that's because, you know, there's the devices, there's the gaming that happens, but the actual social face-to-face stuff isn't happening as much, especially since lockdown, really. So it's just being aware of that and finding new ways to, you know, we're not going to get away from using technology. It's a tool for our benefit, but how do we use it just for our benefit and not for our detriment? And it's just about talking about that, really.
And do you find that teenagers are, because that's such a vulnerable age where, like you say, even naturally there can be a lot of loneliness and isolation, but it sounds like it's way worse than it has been. But then the awareness isn't there, because like when you're a teenager, you're not fully clear and aware of your emotions and your thoughts, really. You're just kind of in them. So do you come across teenagers who see the negative impact of this stuff and they want to make a difference? Or is it more that you're working with parents? I'm curious how that works.
So a lot of it is kind of working with younger primary school children that
okay.
aren't yet there or
gotcha.
Just on that, you know, start of that journey. And parents, empowering parents not to, because a lot of parents don't feel empowered at the minute because everyone else has got smartphones or everyone else has got all the social media. So they just think, you know, well, I can't stop my children. It's that sort of that lack of empowerment. And as a parent myself, I've you know, sort of been quite strong at not giving my daughter all the social media and stuff. And mm-hmm. she's really one of the only people she knows without it. And she says herself, we've gone through that period of like being in year 7 and year 8 where she's really wanted it. And now she's in year 9. She's realizing a lot of her friends have had problems, have had more body image issues. Or there's also been sort of, I'm really quite shocked myself on the amount of kind of self-harming that's mm-hmm. around, things that you think, oh, I just... And my daughter will say to me herself, you know, Mum, I'm so much more innocent than a lot of my friends. Mm-hmm. Like, and I'll ask questions like, what does that mean? And then she goes, oh, and then I wish I hadn't asked. But it's hard being a parent at this day and age because you don't want them to have it, but everybody else has got it. And of course, because I'm passionate about this, I'm like, I'm a real sort of no, but my daughter knows all the, you know, we've kept talking about it and I've made it very clear why she's really aware. So it's about empowering the parents, and things are opening up more with the teenagers now because I think people are really seeing what the impact of them. Mm. I think honestly, on a monthly basis, I think more and more people are opening up.
Yeah,
about it.
Yeah,
but it's been a process. It's been hard, and I think there's this culture around you just get a smartphone when mm-hmm. you're in year 6,
mm-hmm.
and then that's it, and then you've got like literally access to the world. It's really mm-hmm. hard to put all the parental controls involved mm-hmm. and then keep on top of it alongside everything else. So. Mm-hmm. It really does need to shift culturally. I think that's the next step.
Yeah, and probably for every, like I struggle with the impact even of my own phone, and I'm constantly looking for ways to have more boundaries with it. And like I dropped my phone a couple of times and my screen is really shattered. And everyone, like when I hand my phone to someone or if they see it, they're like, oh my God, your phone is like really bad. And I'm like, yeah. And I actually, it's helpful because it keeps me off my phone.
Yeah.
To have this really broken screen. And they're like, oh, that's smart. I'm like, yeah, like anything to keep it away from me, you know? But yeah, the whole, it's like, because neither of us grew up with that, you know, when we were younger. And we remember when the internet came, but I was kind of older, do you know, whereas now I see my nephews with like YouTube at the age of 2 and, you know, the phone and everything. And it's, and we're as a society, we're learning as it's developing, you know. So I love that you're doing that work, and that ties in really nicely with the stuff you're doing for girls and moms, you know, and protecting the very important, like innocence, like you spoke about innocence, like that innocence is very important. And when it's taken away, it can be very harmful, you know. So I love that you're doing that. You also mentioned earlier about pregnancy, and in the course in the Menstrual Coach Academy, we do a whole module on a topic called pain science, which is one of my favorite topics because I just think it's so powerful and not many people are talking about it. And essentially what that is we're looking at the nervous system and we're understanding pain through the lens of the nervous system and through our thoughts and the stories and pain, what's called pain pathways, and how to rewire pain pathways, etc., and build safety in our body. And it's a really helpful thing to know, but also the exercises are really helpful for people who struggle with physical pain or PMDD. But you mentioned it in the context of pregnancy, so I'm curious about that, Laura.
Yeah, so this came up during the pain science topic in the course, that when I became pregnant with my firstborn, I learned about hypnobirthing and read the Mongan Method book. And one of the chapters is on the fear, tension, pain connection. and it really spoke to me. And so the idea that I needed to build a story, a belief system into myself so that when it came to birth, I was not fearful of the process. And so I just, you know, during sort of using hypnobirthing, I remember I wrote my own birth story at one point, and it didn't go quite to like the written, but all these ways in which I used story to connect to my own belief systems about my body really helped my births. And actually, I gave birth 3 times. I feel very lucky that all I used was water for 3 of my births. And I had very big babies. In fact, my 3rd baby was 11 pounds 4.
Wow.
And I gave birth to her in water in my living room.
Wow. So you gave birth 3 times in water?
Yes.
Beautiful. Yes. And is the water, because I haven't had kids, so I'd love to like learn more about this. Is the water part of that body of work and that school of thought, the fear, tension, pain connection?
No, I don't think so. Just that water is so soothing. And I chose the water birth as like quite a kind of, I was lucky. Lots of people have other, you know, they can't go into water, or maybe they end up not giving birth in the water that they've been in during their labor. So there's lots of different things. But the idea that the baby's in water in your womb and then is given birth into water, into the right temperature water as well. So there's that kind of slow process, because then when you're lifting them out of the water, that's when they take their first breath.
Wow.
And not actually just when they're sort of being born. But I just found it so soothing. It just felt really, I was so lucky because I just was able to, and I felt by my 3rd birth, all 3 of them were quite different, the labor of them. But I just felt really comfortable kind of in that, and actually I literally did labor on my own, really. I mean, there was people around me, but I knew what to do by my 3rd. And had anyone told me that she was going to be 11 pounds 4, I would have been like, there's no way I can get, what, I can't give birth to an, like, that's practically like some 3 month babies are 11 pounds.
Yeah.
How can I give
it birth? Would have scared you probably.
Yeah. No, I didn't know, and no one said it was any different. And it was fine. You know, when I say fine, it was labor.
Yeah.
It was, they don't call it labor for no reason, but it was, I managed it. And I think a lot of that is just that trust in my body. My body knew. And I think that was the story. That's the story. Really, that is it. Your body knows. You are nature. Your body knows what to do. Get your mind out of the way. Find a way to calm your nervous system. You know, is it music? Is it lighting? You know, all the ways that are important for your nervous system, do that and let your body do the rest.
Yeah. And like even the way you're positioned, like, you know, when you see birth happening on TV, it's always like the woman lying back and her legs in the air. And like you say, there's always this narrative that's put on us of pain and, you know, fear, all this fear. And to throw that out the window and to rewrite your own story is so powerful, I imagine.
Absolutely. That even to the point that, you know, it wasn't me that was the expert in the birth. It was my body.
Yeah.
My body and my baby knew what to do.
Yeah.
So the midwife's there to make sure everything's okay and safe and checking.
Yeah.
You know, I've got my husband there. My mum was there for one of my births. But then it was about kind of making sure I felt safe. There was a safety, there was a calm, and let's let them do the rest. And I've had incredible midwives that literally, like, you know, my husband, in my 1st birth, my husband had a question. She was like, okay, just wait until she's gone through this next surge. And the way she spoke, the word she spoke, it wasn't about contractions, it was about surges. Oh, it was beautiful. Honestly, I just felt like, you know, they say if a woman's treated like a goddess during birth, then you're doing something right. And it really is that. It's that honouring of the female body during that time. Again, that experience of my birth has really informed how I just feel we should think about the human body, you know, the female body, and just honour it for its incredible intelligence.
Totally, totally, totally. Like, I can relate to it in some way, because when I used to get really bad period pain, when I dropped out of my head and into my body, I would like let myself squirm and move around. And even now, if I have pain, it's like, you know, you kind of just go into yourself and let yourself roll around or squirm or change position or get on all fours or scream or whatever it is you need to do. Yeah. And I think that's really important, because you do find relief in that, don't you? When you just let your nervous system and your body kind of take over.
Absolutely. Yeah. And listen to it. And yeah, like the movement and the your voice, that link. I do singing as well. And the link between, you know, the pelvic area and your voice is so powerful.
So powerful.
All linked. And has really helped me, yeah, in birth, in stress, in life. In
That's so life. Great, yeah. And so you read that book. What was the book called again?
The Mongan Method.
The Mongan Method.
An old book, but it is hypnobirthing. And that's that. But the Mongan Method was the one that I read with the fear, tension, pain.
Pain connection. Yeah, totally. No, I totally relate to that. And so, going back to the girls rising, do you have girls who struggle with pain in your workshops? I'm sure you do, or they're afraid of pain even.
Yeah. So we talk about the nervous system, because a lot of the time as well, when they first start their periods, there is that kind of the pain, but also heavy periods. They're not, you know, they're not maybe cycling sort of every month at the same time, and then they don't know when it's coming. So it's just managing all of that, alongside the fact that, you know, they're at an age where they're trying to find their identity. There's a lot in the mix.
Yeah.
So it's just about kind of talking openly about it and sort of saying, we tried this, let's look at that. How about our we're thinking about our emotions as well, and naming them.
Oh, totally.
So having ways to in which to kind of name and listen to how we're feeling, because sometimes it can be a bit of a mix and a mumble of everything, and it's just like kind of unpicking sometimes how we're feeling. And then of course I have mums that come with neurodivergent girls that, you know, they need longer to process this huge change. It's a change for all of us, but when it comes to like those transitions, they need that time and that connection to really understand it.
Yeah. Wow, Laura, it's incredible work you're doing. It's so inspiring, really, really inspiring. For someone who's listening, who is thinking about joining the Academy, what would you say to them?
Oh, I'd say do it as a gift for yourself, actually. Mm. That's what it felt to me, a gift. Yeah. I mean, obviously it's helped me kind of on a professional level, of course, but it's so much more than that. It's that embodiment. I think it's just that embodiment of it. It's not just the knowledge, it's the living of it. And it felt like a gift. It did. Like a little retreat every month, meeting up with you all, and it is online, but it still felt really intimate and connected, even though, you know, we had people from Hawaii and Australia but it was so, honestly, I loved it. I loved that connection as well with different people from around the world. It was lovely.
Oh, thanks, Laura. Yeah, it's a lovely, and your group was so lovely and very international that year. Very, very international. Yeah. And everyone coming with different backgrounds and different reasons for joining, personal, professional, or, you know, working with different age groups or different like subjects and that kind of thing. And I love how you describe it as a gift to do, because it is a personal process. And thank you for saying that about the knowledge, because that can be quite tough. Like the industry is very like science focused, and we need the information and we need all the research and we need all the facts. And that is very important. But I think there's a bit of a missing piece in terms of the embodiment and the relational approach and the process. And it's hard to do that by yourself reading a book, you know, so.
And that's what you need the other women for. That's what you need to be able to find words for your experience as well. And the journaling and the, you know, and sometimes we all want to kind of do all this stuff, but we need the time to do it. You know, as a mum of three girls myself, we need the time to literally, I take my girl to a retreat and then suddenly I'm facilitating, but we're also having that time together for each other. And that's why the mums need that time in my workshops to do that. And it's the same with your course, like just having that dedicated time. It is, it's a retreat if it's needed.
It's in the diary then.
Yeah.
I love that. So Laura, do you have anything coming up? Any workshops happening in the near future?
Yeah, I have a few workshops. So I've got the deepening happening in June. That's my older workshop. And then I've got another original retreat, mother-daughter retreat at the beginning of July. These are all in Hertfordshire.
Mm-hmm.
It's at Hatfield House, which is this lovely big house. In fact, when Queen Elizabeth I, she used to live there, and she found out she was Queen of England while sitting under an oak tree at Hatfield House.
Oh, wow.
So, lots of the things there are called the oak because of this story.
And her transition.
And then, yeah, so So I run this in this beautiful yoga studio called the Oak House Studio. So that's where the retreat is. And we go into the gardens, the grounds of Hatfield House. And it's literally across the road from Hatfield Station, which is direct links to King's Cross in London. So it's all linked with London. But I have been training a friend of mine to run them in Surrey and Hampshire. And I've had some people ask me if I'll come up to like the northeast. So my next stage, really, because I have just this really, it's tried and tested. I've been tweaking it for 4 years now, and it's there. So it's really, it's ready to roll for other mother daughter. I can only do so much.
Yeah.
I'm only in Hertfordshire, but I would love it to happen elsewhere. So if there is anyone that would like to speak to me about running Girls Rising workshops in other places, I'm willing to train them and, you know, give them the tried and tested, yeah, sort of retreat thing. So I think that's my next stage. I'd like to expand it.
Fab. I love that. I love that. The business mind is coming out. It's so exciting. The creativity is coming out. And then the collaboration with others as well. And
that's it. Making it a network.
Yeah. Making it a network.
Not so much like a franchise, but more like a network of facilitators.
Yeah. 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 Fab. Fab, Laura. I love that. Wow. I love it all. It's so much happening, but so much creativity and expansion happening for you and sharing this work where it's needed. And it's such a, what a gift to give to mothers and daughters and young girls. Like, you know, I think it would have really benefited us, you know, this type of work growing up. So it's so beautiful that you're giving it. And I think it's healing generations, you know, because when we receive that type of work, yeah, there's an integration that happens. And I think it's so interesting that you said at the start that what you see in the mothers is the apprehension. I've done a bit of work with mothers too. And that's the thing I see too, a lot of apprehension, which is kind of like the wounding, isn't it, that happens from their bad experience. So to give them space to process through that and for them to learn to trust themselves as a mother in this topic is really, really important. So I love that you're doing that work, Laura. How powerful. Yeah.
I feel very lucky because I'm very passionate about it. I'm very
passionate. Yeah. 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 No, you're doing the right, you're in the right job for sure. Anything else that you wanted to mention before? Because I could speak to you forever, Laura. Anything else going on?
Well, just that. So alongside the retreats, I do the two-hour workshops. Mm-hmm. So if like there's some, usually they're younger girls and the mums might not think they're ready for a whole day, but I'll do like a two-hour taster workshop fun thing. So that's sort of come in lately. But also I'm doing some talks in schools now. And that's partnered with Wooka, the period pants brand.
Brilliant. I use their pads. They're great.
Do you? Yeah. So lovely Ruby. She lives in Welwyn Garden City as well. And she came to one of my retreats one day. And so we've been sort of collaborating and working on a little schools workshop to bring into schools. So.
And is she the CEO, the founder of Wooka?
Yeah.
Brilliant. Oh, well, say hi from me because I'm a big fan of her stuff.
And she's got an incredible, like, empowering and inspirational story because she's from Nepal and how she used to use sort of ripped up saris for her period products and stuff, and sort of from there
Oh my gosh. Okay. Wow. I'll have to get her on the pod. I actually bought, because I've got my wedding coming up in a few weeks, and I bought, just in case, I don't think my period is due, but you know, the white dress and the period. I
Oh yeah.
was like, I can't wear like colorful or black period, but she has nude ones. So I think I got a couple of nude ones as well, you know, just in case. It's
Yeah.
very important.
And I'm always waxing lyrical about the stretch of the wicker
The
ones.
stretch is
We love the
brilliant.
stretch.
Yeah. And there's, yeah, because you feel like if you're bloated or you've got pain, and they kind of go high up. Like some of them go high waist as
Yeah.
well, and you can wear them under your trackies. Big fan. That's really nice to hear about that connection. Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, Laura, it's been great having you, and congrats with all the amazing progress, and thank you for sharing your experience of the Menstrual Coach Academy. It's really, really great. And
Pleasure.
we'll have to
Welcome.
stay in touch. Yeah, no, I appreciate it a lot. We'll have to stay in touch. For anyone listening who is interested in joining the Menstrual Coach Academy, you can head on to the link in the show notes. The doors are open for July 2026. And Laura, where can people find you? I'll be sure to link that as well in the show notes.
So it's www.girlsrisingmovement.com and it's info@girlsrisingmovement.com, my email, and I'm on Instagram, Girls Rising Movement, and Facebook,
Great.
etc.
Such a great name. I love the name. So good.
Thank you.
Yeah. Anyway, Laura, thank you so much. And thanks everyone for listening. And yeah, lots of love to your inner girl, your inner child, and all the daughters out there for their period. And yeah, here's to lots of healing and love. Thank you. Thanks for joining me on the Menstrual Cycle Mastery podcast. If you'd like to begin this work with me, I run the Menstrual Mastery Collective, a monthly membership where you can dive deep into this work live alongside me and a supportive community. I'm also the founder of the Menstrual Coach Academy, a professional training space for trauma-informed coaching and facilitation. Head on over to the links in the bio to sign up for courses, programs, and grab any resources available. I'm so glad you're here.